Jai Jai Sitchetanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sitchetanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sitchetanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Jai Sitchetanya Jai Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. So I chose a very famous two verses from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'll explain a little later why. First we chant. Sei panchatattva mile prithivi asiya. Purva prema bandhare ramudra ugadeya. Panchami lelutta prem kore ashvada. Yatta yatta piya Krishna bade anaksha. Translation. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahavadanya Avatar because although he's Sri Krishna himself, he's even more favorably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised that he would then give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Sri Rupa Goswami, therefore, could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself, for no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnanandana Salakya Shakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitana Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyacha Sakripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sanin Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, the reason why I chose this verse is because it is described how the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of God, and after breaking the seal, they entered and they plundered that storehouse to taste the transcendental love of Krishna. And the more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. So this is the theme of spiritual nourishment, and that is kind of the theme that I wanted to meditate on this morning, because we all feel a great need. We are in desperate need to somehow or other find such nourishment. It is widely available. It is distributed everywhere now by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure dedicated followers. And we particularly, in this regard, remember Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to whom we are all totally indebted. Because every inch of our spiritual life, Prabhupada is there. Bhadri Narayan Prabhu, who always comes up with nice stories, tells how he wanted to do some adventurous preaching. And he thought, I want to go on untread territory, some place where Krishna consciousness has not yet reached. So he looked at the map of the world and chose New Guinea. Which is indeed somewhat of a unusual place, because there's still a good part where there's active cannibals and so on. So, kind of a preacher's paradise. So, Bhadri decided to go there, and after a long journey, all the way from the west coast of America, he finally arrived in New Guinea. And when he came into the hotel, the man behind the reception was reading Prabhupada's book. And he realized Prabhupada was already there. So it is a fact, wherever we go, not only wherever we go in the world, but wherever we go in spiritual life, Prabhupada was already there. Whatever we go through in our growth, in our development, little by little, we are like chapati dough. And the chapati dough is being pummeled, is the word, with two fists, beating on that dough, kneading the dough, and shaping the dough. At first, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are hard as a rock. And it's very difficult to put us in any shape. But gradually, by the association of the devotees, we become purified, and gradually our heart softens. When I joined Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, after about 1 week, I was in charge of the restaurant. And somehow or other, I had a real problem in that restaurant with chapati cooks. Because first I had a Bengali who didn't understand anything and who just kept on rolling chapatis like a machine even after the guests had left. And when I tried to tell him, stop, he wouldn't. And then when I took his arm, he attacked me. And then made politics, as Bengalis do, and said that I had attacked him. So it was a whole thing. Anyway, I fired him. And then there was a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who somehow or other became my chapati cook, and his name was Rohini Kumar Prabhu. And he was cooking chapatis, so at one day I had 25 guests, and an average of 4 chapatis, that's 100 chapatis. So I called down, the kitchen was downstairs, I called down 100 chapatis. Which I guess when you're a chapati cook, it's a bit of a shock. 100, right? 100 chapatis! I need them quick. And no chapatis came. Not a single chapati came up. And, you know, Indian guests are not so polite when they want to be fed. They were banging their cups on the table and were saying, chapatis! So again, I called out in despair, chapatis! And then finally, still no chapatis. So one more time, I called out chapatis. And then suddenly the door flung open and Rohini Kumar flew into the room. And on his finger, he had made with chapati dough the head of a joker. He put it under my nose and he said, no chapatis. So gradually, in the course of our devotional service, we become a little more flexible, little by little. The devotees are somehow or other gradually bringing out some detachments, bringing us to a point where we just say, okay, Krishna, you are the only shelter. In this way, little by little, we are being purified in the association of the devotees. Because the devotees are an essential source of that spiritual nourishment. The Antya-lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with the verse, Durgame patimendasya skalat padakatir muhu yat kripa swasti dane nasanta santavalambanam. And in that verse, 1 minute, the draft of the Belgian spring. in that verse, it is described, Durgame patimendasya, my path is very slippery. It is difficult to stay on this path. But by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can remain on this path. So that verse has for me been something that stayed with me for many years. Because it is a fact that without the devotees, what can we do? It's not possible to stay enlivened. And then, so many wonderful devotees, and the devotees particularly have the quality of generosity. And that is the one thing that is the most amazing thing about Krishna consciousness. Just like Srila Prabhupada introduced the Sunday love feast, as he called it, and there were 15 fabulous preparations, all for free, and as much as you could desire, and that was just inconceivable. That sort of conquered, that brought out something from, wow, I want to reciprocate. I want to do something in exchange. So in this way, the Vaishnavas, by their generosity, they conquer. In the beginning, we may not be so conscious of of our dependence on the Vaishnavas. We may think, I've got Srimad Bhagavatam, I've got the holy name, now I know everything, what more do I need? I'll just go forward with big steps, fast. But with time, we realize that more and more we need the mercy. So first of all, I've been graced by many Vaishnavas, but by their great generosity, it's like I always tell how after I took sannyas, shortly after I came to Abhantoyar, and Sachinandi Maharaj called me his Vairagi Bhai, right? His brother in renunciation. And, well, I took it as he wants to be my friend. He accepts me as his friend. I took it like that. So it meant something to me. And up to the day of today, I consider Maharaj my dear friend. And so I'm glad that he's here today. That kind of mercy is sustains us for years. A small thing, you know, but within it, a gesture of friendship. And without friendship, how can we stay on this path? It's a long path. It's a long time. A long way before we go back to Godhead. It's not just easy. It's not just, well, you know, now I know everything, and yeah, I've read the Gita, I've understood the philosophy, and now I'll just do it. No, it is. It takes a lot. It takes a lot, and we need spiritual nourishment. We need again and again to take care of being enlivened, and thus we are always eager to be in the association of the Vaishnavas, especially of the advanced Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas showered me with lots of mercy in 1984. I had the good fortune to be in Vrindavan for the installation of Srila Prabhupada's Murti in his Samadhi. And there was an Abhishek, and whoever had arranged it all, they had made a miscalculation. And there was supposed to be a drum under a table, but the drum didn't fit. And thus there was a problem in catching the Abhishek. So I volunteered last minute to go under there with a team with buckets. Boy, I got the mercy. I got the full Abhishek. The honey. I still remember the honey. Right? All the honey and the ghee and everything. Everything. So, and I got kicked by all the Vaishnavas. Even Brahmananda stood on my hand. And Narayan Maharaj kicked me, and everyone was there. They kicked me. And in this way, I was greatly fortunate. It was a great blessing. So I could list many, many blessings that I received over the years from the Vaishnavas. But then this class would go very, very long. So I'm just sketching right now a few quick examples. Of course, I must say that the person who blessed me the most is my spiritual master, because his generosity blew my mind. It literally blew my mind, because he made me do things that I never imagined I would be doing. All along, you know, as soon as I showed a slight interest in sannyas, the whole movement told me, forget it, you know. I mean, just forget it. And everyone said, you know, like Sridhar Maharaj said, just stay a brahmachari. I said, a brahmachari, Maharaj? I've been a grihastha for 24 years. A brahmachari?
But Jayadvaita Maharaj immediately said, "Oh, oh, oh, that is very wonderful."
And as I sort of carefully indicated an inch, he started pulling in. Okay, let's go. And each time, like that, he showered me with transcendental mercy. Just now, I came from South Africa, and my spiritual master was also there, and I met him. And he was telling a nice story, which I'll share with you. It was a story of the Ramayana. The Ramayana, as we all know, is an endless saga. There was a great battle in Lanka to free Sita from captivity. And meanwhile, Sita was kept in Lanka in this Ashoka grove. And there were these Rakshasis who were constantly harassing her, torturing her in so many ways. And just trying to convince her to surrender to Ravana. So this was going on. So the battle was over. Ravana killed and defeated Hanuman. Hanuman was the first to reach the Ashoka grove and to bring the news to Sita. At that time, the Rakshasis were still there, still surrounding her. And so Hanuman said, "Ravana is killed. The battle is won. You are free." Right? And then he saw that she wasn't free, that she was surrounded by all these Rakshasis. So he said, "Shall I kill him?" And he said, "It's nothing for me. I'll just kill them all." Right? And Sita said, "No, Hanuman, no, 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 don't kill him." He said, "No, no, but it's just a small thing. I'll just get rid of them. They caused you so much suffering." And then Sita told Hanuman a story. And the story was that once there was a hunter hunting in the forest, and in his hunting activities, he came upon a tiger, but this tiger was not just a tame tiger, and the roles reversed. Instead of the hunter chasing the tiger chased the hunter, and the hunter was running and running and running, and then there was a tree, and he climbed in the tree, and as he was up in the branches of the tree, there was a bear. And he was like, "Oh no." And he looked up, saw the bear, looked down, saw the tiger. And then the tiger said to the bear, the tiger said, "My dear bear, this hunter is our mutual enemy. Kick him down and I will finish him off." "No," the bear said, "I cannot do that. How can I kick him down? He is a guest in my home." "No, that I cannot do." The tiger then turned his strategy, and he turned to the hunter. And he said to the hunter, he said, "Look at that bear." He said, "Just kick him. Kick him down, and I will eat him instead of you." And the hunter, he did it. The hunter suddenly kicked the bear, and the bear fell down. But on the way, the bear somehow or other managed to grab a branch and hanging there and climbing back up, and the bear was saved. Then the bear was up, back in the branches, and the tiger said to the bear, just see what kind of person this hunter is, you know what I mean? He betrayed you while you were giving him shelter. He just betrayed you completely. Kick him down now, before he kills you. You can't trust him. As soon as you turn your back to him, he'll kill you. Kick him down." "No," the bear said. "No, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Because even if my guest is misbehaving and is behaving in a way that is totally inappropriate, that doesn't give me a license to also act inappropriate.
I still have to act properly. So he's my guest, so no, I can't kick him down. And in this way, the tiger went hungry that day. And so our noble bear is a wonderful person. And my spiritual master, who is so much dedicated to being a man of noble character. That is his outstanding quality. And if I see whatever mercy has bestowed on me, which is so much and so much generosity, then the thing that penetrates the deepest in my heart is his noble character. That is the one thing each time I'm thinking, I'm just a low-minded person who is just trying to somehow or other become a Vaishnava. But then I see a man of truly saintly character. And therefore, it's like my spiritual master is known for his thunderbolt karate blows, and he has a tongue which is powerful as a lightning bolt, right? And a very sharp intelligence, and he can with one or two words go to the essence of something and just expose everything. Therefore, people are afraid wherever he goes. People are in fear. So when I approached him for initiation, I was also thinking, I was thinking about the brace position, right? As they speak about in planes, in case it gets too rocky, then, okay, brace yourself. So I was sort of getting ready, for anything, right? I thought, even if thunderbolts come, I'll take them. That was my mood. But he didn't. I got a few thunderbolts over the years, but not too many. Mostly, he melted me with his noble character. And he did it again with his bear story, which was such a nice story. And I somehow or other missed that story in the Ramayana. But it is very nice because I thought, yes, here is spiritual nourishment. All of us have to become, we have to become Vaishnavas of noble character. That is what we're really doing. It's not just what we do. It's really who we are. We have to become very noble persons. And that is one point I wanted to make today. Then another Vaishnava who always showers me with mercy somehow or other, he has adopted me, is Indrajumna Maharaj. I don't know why, but a few years ago on my birthday, it was the passport birthday, so I was hiding it, and he burst into the Bhagavatam lecture I gave with a big cake together with Govinda Maharaj and Puri Maharaj. And there were three big guys. They glorified me and pinned me down and tried to put a piece of cake in my mouth. And, there wasn't much I could do about it, so I kind of surrendered. And then they stole it out of my mouth. And then they danced around with it, and like intoxicated madmen, which is pretty bad, right?
But then Indrajumna Maharaj glorified me for all kinds of things about African preaching, which I really didn't do. But with that, he kind of forced me to do it. Because now my public reputation was that I'd done all these things. And being proud as I am, I didn't want to lose face. So he forced me to do something. And this year he did it again. I had a hidden little birthday party with the South African devotees, and in a private house, and suddenly he appears with 20 garlands, and he says, "I strung them myself. I've been up all night." And then he offers the garlands and everything, and then he starts this whole thing, you know. He said, "Kadama Kanana Maharaj is just like me." He said, "We are so close, we're almost the same." He said, "I'll tell you the secret. We are twin brothers." And he kept this up, you know. I mean, the whole festival told everyone we were twins. Non-stop. Just not once, but just 25 times in every public thing. We are twins and twins. And it's just... And he started also this thing, you know, about in Bhagavatam it's mentioned that the twin that appears first is actually the one that was conceived last. So the one that takes birth first is the youngest, because the one that is deepest in the womb was conceived first, and then the one that is sort of on the exterior side of the womb is the second one conceived. He comes out first. So he said, "I appeared first and therefore I'm the youngest," and the whole thing. And again, he glorified me for all kinds of preaching that I didn't do. So I told everyone the story about stealing the cake and what happened the first time. And I told him, I said, "And now he's doing it again. He's again giving me my orders." Right? And now I just have to simply do it. And it's not just that I'm saying this. He's sort of keeping the pressure on, and he's making sure that I'm doing this African preaching. So in this way, the Vaishnavas shower me with mercy. And I said as Maharaj was there in that little Vyasa Puja, I said that, I'm trying to become a generous person, but it's very difficult to be generous because by nature, I'm quite miserly. By nature, I'm just a miserly Dutchman, you know, who calculates and sort of like, "Well, I'll give you so much." And, you know, and over the years, I'm trying to go beyond calculating. I'm trying to just give and not think, "Can I afford it?" I just try to. So more and more, I'm trying to get into this mood. But then in the Jumna March, you know, in South Africa, the temples, they have workers, you know, who are walking around, in the men in blue labor uniforms and the ladies in kitchen uniforms, aprons, and so on. And Maharaj was giving initiations, and suddenly one of the workers, 5 minutes before the yagya, it was announced that he was also part of the whole thing. And Maharaj just initiated him and called him Radha Shyam, and it was all ecstatic. And then he got fired up. So later, this mic is too cheap. Radha should buy a more expensive mic. And then later, during the festival, he took all the kitchen helpers, all the ladies, big, fat African mamas, and he took them all into the gift emporium, and he picked out saris and bangles, etc., and then smiled at the cashier and said, "I started this Ratha Yatra and didn't pay." And then he took... And then he took them all decked out in saris and bangles on the stage and made them dance. And then he took them to the restaurant and gave him a big, big feast. And he didn't pay again.
But he showed what generosity is like, you know. And I was thinking, I'm like millions of miles behind, right? So in this way, just by the association of these Vaishnavas, right, we are seeing what we have to become, transcendental personalities, not material misers who are always thinking, what can I do? How much service can I afford? How much credit can I give someone? Well, I appreciate at least one quality in this devotee. No, appreciate him completely in generosity. So generosity doesn't just mean money. It means appreciation. It means giving. And this is what we are all about. This is a movement where we have to learn how to give instead of worrying about what we're getting. And that takes a long time. We are so much concerned about what am I getting? Oh, and what am I needing? I need mercy. I need inspiration. I'm struggling. Please, you know, it's so difficult. Give me a secret. Give me something. Give me a mantra. Give me some solution, something, please, so that I can stop struggling. Okay, we're giving. We're giving it now. The solution is to start giving. Start giving. That is the secret. Don't worry about what you're getting. Start giving. Start giving, and then everything will follow from there. And then the more you give, the more the other Vaishnavas, to your surprise, start to give to you also. It's just amazing. And then you get showered, just like this Magrari the hunter. Narada said, you know, cut the string of your bow. That was the crucial moment. Cut the string of your bow. But how will I eat? I will provide. And we see how Narada provided. The Vaishnavas could see that this hunter has transformed. He's dedicating himself now to Krishna fearlessly. Fearlessly. He's not depending on any material arrangement. He's just depending on Krishna. Then we'll give. Recently, there was a brahmachari who wanted some maintenance for his service, because he said, you know, who will take care of me? What is my security? And I was thinking about that. And the next morning, during my japa, I thought, you know, our security is our purity. That is our security. That's what we have. If we don't, the purity is there, then don't worry. Don't worry. Then we'll be taken care of. Devotees will take care of anyone who has some purity. We don't need to worry. Now it is the era where people are afraid. The other day, I spoke to a young grihastha who was getting ready for a professional career in the world. And he said, it's not the only way. He said, actually, there is another way, and it's very simple. You just go to some city, and you rent a house, and you open a preaching center, and you just preach, and you live from preaching. Very simple. That's all you have to do. You don't have to work. Why you want to work? Just preach. And people will give, and you just live simple in the temple and everything will be fine. Why do you want a profession? It's not necessary. Just preach. He said, my faith is not strong enough that Krishna will provide. That is the crux of the matter. So it is a time where somehow or other we have lost faith, collectively, actually, because this spirit has died, and it works, I guarantee you. The only thing that is needed is purity, If one is a householder and goes out to preach, then one has to be renounced. One cannot live it up at public expense. One has to be ready to make a sacrifice and to live simple and to preach. But if we do, then everything will come. Everything will come. And then one can make advancement so quickly. So it's an option. I'm only offering it as an option for those who are interested. It's not like, okay, all of us, give up your jobs tomorrow and that's it. From now on, only preaching centers. I won't be so demanding. But there is so much to do. So much to do all over the world. There is no lack of opportunity. And Krishna will provide, undoubtedly. And purity is the force. So with these kind of meditations, I wanted to make a few points which are relating to my main theme of the lecture. The main theme of the lecture is spiritual nourishment. I've mentioned sadhu sangha. There is sadhana, obviously. There is absorption in chanting and here in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we have not read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many devotees in our movement who have not read Srimad Bhagavatam. And that means you have given up the fight. That means you have not fulfilled your duty. That means you're below the minute, the minimum. I would sometimes they speak about below the poverty level. Right? You're below the poverty level. It's like not even minimum, Without the Bhagavatam, you cannot live. Without the Bhagavatam, you are dead. Without the Bhagavatam, you are a ghost. It's like that. It's like that. Because the Bhagavatam is the very foundation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that the evidence that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presents, the principal evidence, is all Srimad Bhagavatam, all in his preaching. And we see that the whole lifestyle that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching is founded on Srimad Bhagavatam. Without Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot live. It is like that. One is dead without. Sorry. So, I want to quickly put in a few pointers and then conclude, because time is limited. So my conclusion is, let us be conscious of the need for spiritual nourishment, that we ourselves are in need of spiritual nourishment. Let us not think that we can go on automatic pilot in spiritual life, but let us make a conscious effort to be well nourished, and let us nourish others by becoming Vaishnavas of noble character. And then I guarantee you that the path back to Godhead will be successful. It will be successful, without a doubt. Because of time constraint, I'll pick up the thread later in the day and expand and go more in depth on other points. Now maybe one of you or two of you have a question or a comment. I'll shortly answer it and then we'll take a break. And comment to our question. Yes? Loud? You're quick. How hard you must try to something. Radhakanta, translate. To develop. How much must we try, how hard must we try to develop our desire to go to Krishna? We must try with all our heart. We must try with every cell in our body. We must try with every thought that comes into our mind. We must try completely. Nothing else. That's what we should do. Of course, we don't do that. And then comes the next part. And that's the part where we realize that I know what I should be doing, and I'm falling short. I'm very much falling short. And that's where we start to pray for mercy. And that's why I always stress Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because I'm so much aware of how much I'm falling short. See, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was deeply absorbed in meditation on Radha and Krishna. So, I also am thinking about the amazing nature of Vrindavan. I consider Vrindavan my home. But then, in that home, I am just a very poor, miserly beggar. That's the problem. And I see the residents of Vrindavan passing by, and sometimes a few drops of mercy come my way, but then I can't really keep up with them at all. And then I know that it's time for mercy. So then I pray to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, for mercy. And then I pray to all the followers of Shishi Gornitai, to Srila Prabhupada, to all of you. And then I hope. See, I wrote something on this, and I said, as a beggar, basically, I want Krishna Prem. Oh, yes, I really want it. But I don't want to pay the price for it. Oh, no, I don't. And I offer Krishna only broken names. That's all. And I say then, please give me Krishna Prem. Please, please. And meanwhile, I'm offering broken names. That's my condition. So you must try to give everything. Not a little, everything. Everything. Everything for Krishna. Thank you for the nice question. Yes. Okay, I'm just looking. All right, she came all the way from Africa. One last one. That's far. She's asking. I was living in Vrindavan. I got a lot of association of many leaders of our movement. And why? Jayadvaita Swami. Okay, because the first time I met him, he was standing at the Mahaprasadam table in Vrindavan. And he had a huge stack of these leaf cups with Mahaprasadam, as they have in India. And I walked past and I said, "Oh, hungry Maharaj," which is a little bit challenging, isn't it? So I got it straight away. He said, oh, okay, you can carry. And there I walked with the stack. And then he just took me over. He just made me surf. And then he lay down to rest on the bed. And he said I had to read the Krishna book. And I was reading the Krishna book. And after 10 minutes, there was this kind of sound. So I sort of quietly stopped and was about to slip out. And then he's, with his eyes still closed, he says, don't stop reading. So I kept on reading, and after about another 10 minutes, again. And this went on for half an hour, 1.5 hours. I was reading Krishna book for 1.5 hours. Each time I stopped, he woke up a little and told me to keep on reading. So that's where it began. And he always treated me as if he was completely in charge of me. He never treated me in any other way. Although we were friends, and although I had never said that I would accept him as an authority or anything, but throughout the years, that's just what he did. So finally I surrendered. What could I do? That's what happened. All right, thank you very much. Let's take a little break. And we'll meet in about an hour. IST, stretchable ISKCON time. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.